Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
There's a big difference between great and average. No one wants to visit the average Wall of China unless you want to spend a week in the city of Shanglo. The only people who want to tour average Britain are those captivated by that glorified wristwatch, medium-sized Ben. Did that shark movie make you afraid to go swim in the ocean? Fear not! It's an average white shark. There's nothing superior about the average lakes. Frankly, they're just eerie. Want to buy your father a coffee mug that says, "World's Averagest Dad"? Congratulations! You're the world's jerkiest kid. If that book had been called Average Expectations, it wouldn't be worth dickens. Are you content with an average life, or are you looking for one that's great? The difference between average and great often comes down to the choices we make. So, average or great? Make the call.
To those of you Davidson students returning, welcome back. And that is what, right there, that's what a Davidson education will get you. Don't you wish that every decision, every choice that faced us was a clear, "Oh, well, I can play that all the way out. And I know if I make this choice, it's going to wind up average or bad. And if I make this choice, it's going to end up great." Don't you wish they were all that clear? But oftentimes, the best alternative isn't clear cut. But it would just be simple if every choice was a clear alternative between good and bad. But even then, it's less clear. Most choices that we make, and most choices you and I will face this fall as we enter a new season of life, are really more between good and best, or average and great. One of my boys, when he was 3 years old, struggled with this having to make a choice. And I can't say which boy it was, but when he was three, the biggest fits he would pitch were when he had to make a choice. Do I play with little Johnny or with little Sammy? And he knew intuitively that to choose one, make one decision, is the death of the other possible choice. That's part of the etymology of the word choice or choose. It's the death of one option. And so he was just mad that you had to choose. And he would sit on his bed, refusing to choose, pitching a fit. He's gotten a little better at that now as a high schooler. But what he knew intuitively is that there's a power in human choice that's delegated by God to us. And the life of following Jesus by faith is not a life of abdication of choice. It's a right ordering of human choice under the supremacy of our loving God as we follow Jesus. And He delegates to us. You have within you this ability to determine most of the outcomes of our life and the lives of other people, many of them, through the choices that we make. And the basis of the series that we begin today, Make the Call, is this. You make your choices, and then your choices make you, don't they? Now, in my role as pastor, people will often come to me to talk over parts of their life as their sort of spiritual counselor. I love that. I treasure that. It's this incredible honor to have this little entree into portions of people's lives. And as I think back over it, maybe even up to half of the things that people want to talk to me about are basically they want help making an important decision. Should I take this job? Should I get married? Should I confess to my small group the secret sin in my life? Should I go on a mission trip? Should I have an abortion? Should I serve the church with my gifts of teaching a child or in music? Should I leave my husband? Is it at that point? Should I go into debt and buy this dream house? And when people come to meet with me and when it becomes clear that it's about a decision and they lay it out like that, you know what honestly the first thing is that goes through my head? I have no idea. I don't know. I'm having trouble making decisions in my own life. I can't even pick which line to stand in the grocery store is going to be faster. There's two people in this line and there's one in this line, but he looks like a check writer and he has some exotic fruit to weigh. Right? And those 20 seconds make a big difference. I'm struggling with my own decisions. We are all making monumental decisions, some very small decisions that we know will take us to monumentally different places than if we made this small decision in this direction. We're making them. And sometimes people want to talk to their pastor, and we're all here in the worship of God together, which is so good to do with you, to mouth back to God how good and how glorious He is, and saying, I believe, help my unbelief. And it's good to worship God by giving ministry to one another in our offerings. And it's good to look into His Word, because we all have choices that we're facing and we're hoping for a word from God. And we do believe, we dare to believe, that there are good choices and bad choices. Why? Because the nature of reality is founded upon a God who exists and a God who's revealed Himself as good in His character. And He's revealed this through His written word, the Bible, and the living word, Jesus. And because we believe this, we believe there's a good for our lives, maybe even a great, in the choices that we make. And we're here to hear from God. Can you think back and tell a story of a time when you made a choice in the past and you completely, deliberately didn't seek the wisdom or the character of God to attach your decision-making to? And can you name even some consequences or scars that maybe you're living with even today? I bet some of you here this morning are freshmen in high school. My youngest son, Austin, just started his freshman year in high school this past week at Lake Norman Charter School. Some of you here are freshmen in college. One of our dear friends here at Lake Forest is going to be a freshman in college up in Manhattan on Friday. And some of you are freshmen at other things in your life. And we use this word freshman to mean, you know, the person's still a little naive. And they don't yet have all the tools and the perspective to figure out the ramifications of this choice. They need a little orientation in life, right? If you're a freshman, right? Well, maybe you've made some freshman type quality choices in your life. And you're like, why didn't somebody warn me? You know, I didn't realize at the time that the small choices I was making would be adding up to a life. I was just a freshman, right? And some of us can look back on choices we regret. Others of us look back on choices and we're living with consequences, but we honestly say, I can't say that I regret that, because those acts of volition in the past make me who I am today and are why I have the people in my life today. And I like that attitude as well. But regardless of whether you feel regret, we all want to tap into the wisdom of God when it comes time to make the call in our life. There was a time in the history of Israel, the people of God, whom God chose to begin His self-revelation to the world through. And they were freshmen at being the people of God. This was new to them. They were making young and naive choices. And the book of Exodus shows us the nation of Israel in their freshman year. And we read about how God led them from slavery in Egypt out into freedom under the leadership of Moses. And God speaks to them and says, I'm giving you the chance of a lifetime. If you will be my people and follow my commands, then I will bless you beyond what you can possibly imagine. And God spoke to His people about a new residence He was giving them. He spoke of it as a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, the good, the great. And ever since then, in Western culture, the promised land, we all understand what that means. It speaks of the good and the great. And it's tied to a God who offers good and great blessings to people. And He says, I'm offering this to you. And after wandering around in the desert after slavery for 40 years, God finally feels like His children, the Israelites, are ready to inherit this land. And this is the birth of their nation. And they stand poised at the edge of the promised land, ready to go in, just like you are poised on the edge of a fresh season of life. This time of year always is full of promise, potential newness, possibilities that weren't realized last year that I hope for this year. And the Israelites are poised right on the edge of their freshman year. And Moses, who's been leading them for 4 decades, is now close to death. And he knows he can't go in with them. So he gives them a freshman orientation in the form of a farewell address. He's aware that Israel is now going into this land and they're going to begin making choices that will formulate the rest of their life as a nation and the way the whole world hears or doesn't hear about the love of the one true God through them. And so this old man, this prophet, Moses, who had poured his hopes and his energies and dreams into seeing this moment come to fruition, he leans on his staff and he says these words at freshman orientation to the people of God. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30 where we'll be during our whole message. Verse 19. He says, "This day," he's leaning on his staff, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses that I have set before you life and death." Stark choices. "Blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. You may listen to his voice. You may hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers." Moses, the preacher, frames human choice in stark and even cosmic terms to these freshmen. Life or death, the choices you make will lead toward life or death, cursing or blessing. People of God, there's a sign in the middle of the road that you are on today. One side, the choices point to life. One side, they point to death and cursing. And he links choosing life and finding blessings to these three things. Let's put the scripture back up there. He links finding life and blessings to a heart full of love for the Lord your God. An ear listening to God's voice through his revealed word. And a determination to hold fast to him in my decision making. Why is Moses being so dramatic? Life and death, man. I mean, we've got a long time to play this out. Of course, duh. If it's life and death, cursing and blessing, of course I'll choose life. Moses, I check the box of blessing over cursing every time, dude. I mean, sometimes I have some indecision, but this is a no-brainer. Take an Ambien, Moses. Life or death, I choose life, okay? Right? But Moses is so direct here because sometimes, particularly when we're freshmen, the paths that we think will lead us to life actually lead us to a kind of a death instead. It's hard to see how God's wisdom leads to life over the long haul when it's harder up front to make that choice. I remember when I was a freshman youth pastor, my first year in Memphis, Tennessee, we took our youth group out to Colorado for a week in the summer, and my particular group of guys were rising freshmen in high school, interestingly enough. And we had this one afternoon of free time where you could choose what you're going to do, and we had already decided way before, we're going to be cool, we're going to go mountain biking to this butte that was outside of the town. And so we go to the store that afternoon to rent our bikes, and we rent the bikes, but the guy says, "I got bikes for you, but I'm all out of helmets." And we go, okay, well, let's think about that. I mean, I'm a freshman youth pastor. I'm like, well, but dude, we're in Colorado. We have 3 hours. This is life, man. We got to go mountain biking up the butte. We'll take those bikes without those helmets. And we go out there. We get to the butte and we're having fun. And there's this place where you come down a hill and somebody has built a ramp at the bottom of it. There's 8 freshman high school guys. You got to go over that ramp. And so they go over the ramp, go over the ramp, go over the ramp. I'm at the bottom of it, and the first 7 make it. No problems. I look up, and here comes the 8th one going faster than the others because he's amped up by what they did. And I realize this one is the least coordinated of all of them. And he's thinking, man, he saw his buddies. He's like, life, man, this is life. I'm in Colorado. We're at the butte, man. We're mountain biking. I'm going to be talking about this when I get back to school next month. And he takes the jump and he over rotates. The bike hits on its front wheel. He comes off of it. His unhelmeted head hits first and stays there. His body flips up, falls back down. When I get to him, he's unconscious and foaming at the mouth. His life flashed before my eyes. If I weren't a freshman youth pastor, I would have been smart enough for my career to have flashed before my eyes. Now, fast forward to a number of hours that night in the Greeley, Colorado hospital. And his parents have flown emergency basis from Memphis. And glory be to God, all he had, all, was a broken collarbone. Sometimes the things we think will bring us life end up coming very close to leading us or people around us to death. I've seen friends take their dream job of a building, at the top of a building in the corner office, only to hear them say 2 years later, they feel like their work has killed their soul. I saw a relative, a cousin, after coming out of the closet with his sexual identity, jumping into a season of partying and careless sex, thinking it would lead to more life and excitement. And then he contracted HIV, AIDS, and then he died a couple of years later. I've seen young couples in love with being in love, sitting on my couch with their interlocked fingers, talking about marrying this person they only started seeing a couple of months ago. Sometimes paths, choices, look like a one-way road to bliss, but they actually end in death. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, couldn't say it any clearer. Let's read this together, please. There is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Moses tells the Israelites, be careful about the paths you walk down. Choose. And he says, you will choose. You make the call. The call is yours. He says, you must choose. But be careful, because the small determinations that you make right now that seem good might ultimately lead to pain. So choose wisely. Choose life by loving God with a full heart as your supreme pleasure, by listening to Him through His Word, and by holding fast through obedience to His will. Now, in this series, we're going to be talking about making choices wisely. And my goal is not to tell you what to decide, but we're looking in the Scriptures, hoping to accomplish giving each other a few more tools in how to decide. Now, no matter whether you consider yourself a Christian today or not, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, we can all use some help on how to be more decisive, can't we? It is time for confession. How many of you here would confess to being often indecisive in your life? The rest of you are like, well, I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not sure if I am anymore. I saw those hands kind of, Here's what Moses says. He gives us three truths about making the call, making the choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. The first truth is choices are possible. Would you stand and let's honor the value of God's word, written word to us by reading this together, please. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. You may be seated. Moses says, the power to choose what is good, the power to make a choice is yours. It's not up in heaven in some mysterious, I'll just do what comes easy. I'll do what everybody else is doing because who knows, dude, it's up in heaven, you know, to make a choice or the right choice. It's over the sea. He says it's in your control. It's in your reach. Your life is not just about submitting to forces beyond your control, as our culture likes to make excuses for ourselves. And the trouble with us oftentimes in our spiritual lives, as well as every other part of our life, is we treat our lives as if they're determined entirely by circumstance that we cannot manage. And in the midst of the decision-making process, many of us tend to throw up our arms in despair and say, well, I don't really have a choice of where I'm going to go spiritually, of where I'm going to go relationally, of where I'm going to go addiction-wise. I don't really have a choice. The deck is stacked against me. I am what I am, according to Popeye. And I'll always be that way. We believe in genetic determinism. Well, my grandparents did it to me. It's in my genes. We believe in emotional and psychic determinism. My parents did it to me. They brought me up this way. It's how I think. It's how I am. It's how I relate. I can't change. We believe in environmental determinism. My boss or my girlfriend or my friends did it to me. They're the ones who are making these choices, and I'm just there, and that's making my life miserable. We believe by our words and our actions, and particularly when we abdicate making choice, and we don't believe choices are possible, what we are choosing to believe is that we're some sort of Pavlovian dog. That there's a stimulus that happens, and that stimulus determines my response. Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist who was imprisoned in the death camps of Nazi Germany. In the camp of Auschwitz, he stood helpless while his parents, his brother, and his wife were incinerated in the gas ovens. Frankl suffered numerous torture sessions, indignities, but the most difficult thing for him to deal with, he said, was the unknown of what might happen next at any moment, which was out of his control. At a second's notice, he might be chosen to be the next one executed or humiliated or tortured. And one day, naked and alone in a small room, Viktor Frankl became aware of a phrase that he would coin, the last of the human freedoms. The Nazis had the power. They controlled his environment. They could do whatever they wanted to his body. But Frankl reached the conclusion he had the power within himself, delegated by God, to decide how he would respond to his circumstance. Between what happened and his response was the power to choose that response. And Frankl went on to notice that there was a direct correlation among the prisoners who chose to respond with hope for the future were also the ones who actually lived through the horrific experience to tell about it. And so Frankl teaches us, as we read these words of Moses, that between circumstance and response, you have the freedom to make the call, to choose. Otherwise, Moses would not say, "I command you to choose," in his freshman orientation that we're reading together. This is how God made us. Everyone in this room is somehow chained to a set of circumstances that you did not choose. We're all chained to the national economic conditions. Some of you are chained to a health issue. Some of you are chained to a difficult person in your life, under your roof, or in the cubicle next to you at work, or in your boss's office. Some of you are chained to debt that's the consequence of past decisions. Some of you are chained to the consequences of a broken marriage, a broken reputation, a broken career. And now we're living with this. And we like to blame the chains for our unhappiness or our inability to achieve what we desire. The abundant life in Jesus. Pursuing a calling. Healthy relationships that speak to others of the character of God. We blame the chains for taking choice out of our hands to follow and choose life, in the words of Moses. Viktor Frankl and Moses say, hey, in life, just like in the death camps of Auschwitz, blame, bitterness, and hopelessness are deadly. You have the power to choose. In between circumstance and response is the power of choice delegated by a good and loving and holy God who made us this way. And we can say, I will not allow this situation to define my response. God might be up to something here. The circumstances of the Israelites wandering in the desert, feeling dispossessed, entering a land where there were well-armed, well-established people. Maybe God is up to something in this circumstance. How will I respond? I have within me the power to choose not to just go with the flow. I choose life. I won't let my disability hold me back. I will not let this difficult person in my life destroy my spirit and determine how I am with them and other people. I will not allow my friends' bad choices to determine my choices. I will not allow my marriage to slowly dissolve, acting as if I have no choice. Because Jesus promised He will complete the work He has begun in you when you put your faith in Him. That His Spirit is at work in you up to this moment to perfect the work that He has begun, leading you toward life. Look at your life right now as we start this series. Is there some area in which you have chosen to assume a posture of powerlessness to choose that you need to open up to the Holy Spirit this morning? Is there an area where you have chosen to assume there's a direct connection between circumstance and response? And now you hear Moses saying to you, choose this day life in that circumstance. Will you speak that part of your life to the Holy Spirit today, hopefully? Will you speak it to a helpful friend or mentor this week? Moses says, choice is not something far off in heaven. It is within you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The second truth about choices Moses gives us, choices are proactive. Watch what Moses does here. He says, hey, freshmen, let me get your attention again. Freshman orientation, getting ready to go into the promised land. He says, nobody passively drifts into joy and life and contentment and peace and abundance and virility of purpose. No one drifts into that. It's proactivity, choosing. Nobody drifts into a solid relationship with God in which you know His presence and His nearness constantly. It's a proactivity. Verse 15, Moses says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity. I'd like to choose that. And death and destruction. I'd rather not choose that. He says, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, walk in His ways, keep His commands, decrees, and laws. He says here, the path to life involves proactivity of obedience to God. And he speaks it in three ways. Proactivity of your heart set on the Lord your God as your supreme pleasure and glory in this life. It's life habits that are set to walk in His ways, even as we looked at the life habits of Jesus last month. It's the sacrifice of obedience to keep His commands, even when the circumstances seem to make it more difficult. He says, this choice is not far away. It is within you. And Christians, the Holy Spirit is within you to empower these choices for life in the space between circumstance and response. It involves acting, not being acted upon, this life with God. God is the great actor, not being acted upon. And in His image, He empowers us through His Spirit to be actors upon this stage called life. Not only acted upon. The greatest spiritual danger that I see in you, my friends at Lake Forest, when I do meet with you and talk about your lives, the greatest danger is rarely that you're about to just say, I don't believe any of this. I'm just going to throw my faith in the toilet. The greatest danger is not you're about to make some unforgivable, life-altering sin. The greatest danger that I see in Lake Forest people and Lake Norman is that you'll just coast. Or you'll just dabble in choosing life. That you'll just dabble in what Moses said of set your heart to love God. That you'll dabble in setting up habits in your life to walk in His ways. That you'll dabble in obeying His commands that Moses just said. That you'll dabble in getting into just ankle-deep water of Christ-centered community with other people following Jesus. That you'll dabble in learning the Bible. You maybe knee-deep. You just sort of dabble. You just wade a little bit in learning His Word. That Moses said, when it's on your lips and in your heart, the power to choose life is right here. It's just dabble. We dabble because we want to keep our options open. We don't want to get so far involved in something that it diminishes our freedom by cutting off other choices. And by so doing, we use our freedom to not choose life, but instead abdicate choice, which leads to death-type consequences in our lives. And Moses says, you can't dabble spiritually. Choose, make the call. You're either going to seriously pursue a life based on the goodness and the glory of God by following Jesus, or you won't. That doesn't mean you accept everything blindly. It doesn't mean that you're perfect and sin-free. But it does mean you're willing to say, God, You are honestly what I want for You to have supremacy in my life. I don't need anything else to truly satisfy me. I want Your kingdom and Your will to take root in my life as I follow Jesus Christ in faith. And some of you have been here over the summer kicking the tires of faith. Maybe longer than that. And today, Moses says, choose life. Choose now. Put your faith in Him. Set your entire affection on God, your Heavenly Father. And begin to follow Jesus to choose life. Because you and I will never fully realize the full wonder and beauty of a life under God's reign until we frankly have done the math for ourselves. And on one side of the equation is all the stuff in life I thought would make me happy, but it hasn't. And on this side is my chance to live in the kingdom of heaven now and forever. And I can choose death, which sometimes looks like life, or I can choose real life. But when we don't definitively set our wills to follow God and follow His ways and obey His will, then the circumstances around us will squeeze us into their image and their mold. And they will choose for us. We know this. If we don't have a strong opinion or determination and direction between circumstance and response to choose life in God's way, then the people or circumstances around us will squeeze us into their image. Even though their dreams may not be my stated dreams, even though their priorities are not my priorities, even though their faith commitments are not my faith commitments, when I don't proactively choose life in the way that Moses said, then those decisions will be made for me in the manner of those who I happen to be in closest proximity to. And so Moses says the decision of life, of abundant life, in the words of Jesus, it's you can make them, and they're proactive. You can make them. Because you won't drift into healthiness. You make the call. And so I ask you, what is one step spiritually you've been talking about, you've been thinking about, but you haven't pulled the trigger? What is it? Is it the choice to put your entire faith in life in the hands of Jesus as your God and your Savior? And you've been dabbling in that? Today, Moses says, choose life. Is it the decision to check out a community group? Is it the decision to commit to following Jesus by committing to a church, whether it's this one or another one, but to do it? Is it the decision to serve others in the body of Christ in children's ministry here on Sunday, or our homeless shelter that we host, or we host Jesus next week? Is it asking someone to be a spiritual mentor or friend in your journey of faith and calling them today and saying, can we have lunch or coffee? What have you been putting off and not making the choice? And today, maybe the Spirit of God is saying, pull the trigger. The third truth that I'll pray over us that Moses says is decisions are also consequential. We tend to focus on the huge decisions in our lives as the turning points, but it's usually the small stuff, repeated over time. The small moments between stimulus or circumstance and response that over time determine whether we're moving toward life or cursing. Moses says this in verse 16. As you make these choices, as you choose life, as you make the call, he says, then, in the large and small moments of life, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and if you are drawn and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. There are choices that end in life and choices that end in death, in step by steps of destruction of things that we hold dear. And he says this, I imagine with tears in his eyes, friends, freshmen, people of God, can't you see you're building a life and every choice is a brick in it? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, in this moment, some of us make the choice right now. It's not beyond us to put our faith in your Son Jesus for the first time. We choose to place all that we know and understand of ourselves in the hands of all that we know and understand of you, believing that your Son Jesus is God, and asking for forgiveness of sins through his death and resurrection on our behalf, and choosing to follow him and my habits and my obedience to what I know of your will. Lord, all of us, we ask your Spirit to be speaking to us. What are areas of our life where we've abdicated choice and you are calling us to choose more life, to follow you, to give glory to your name in a way that's good for others around us. And we tell you, we will choose it, Lord. We will be those who don't claim we have no idea what you want. We will be those who will walk in your ways and obey your revealed will, even when it takes sacrifice. We pray this would be to your glory and for the good of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.